It speaks of the four corners of the earth. Jesus said that when he comes again, he will send his angels where? To the four corners of the earth to reap the harvest. He said at his ascension in Matthew 28, he said, "Go to all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing them in my name." So you know, the table is something that should find its way into our life. And what the Lord emphasized to me today was to speak a little bit about the table, a little bit about the bread, but emphasize the wine. I want to ask you a question. I'm just going to ask you a question. I want you to be very, very honest with me. How many of you would it offend? And be honest with me now, because this is very, very crucial. How many of you would it offend to have real wine at the table of the Lord? Would it offend anyone? I mean, I know you're probably saying, "Well, I can't raise my hand because nobody else is raising your hand." But it's very important that you let me know the truth, because I want to know the mentality of our body. I don't know if we'll ever do it. I do know that I've studied it a great deal and extensively, and I know that you can take a glass of grape juice, Welch's, set on the table for 2 or 3 days, and it no longer tastes like grape juice. What will it taste like? Wine. There's a fermentation that happens. You put that in a wine skin, you carry it around for days. I don't care how fresh the grape juice was. Eventually, you're not going to have just grape juice. You're going to have wine. And I want to talk just a little bit about that, just to, I don't know why, because you know how I am, but I want things as real as I can have them. I was talking to someone this morning. Who was I talking to? And I was saying that I don't want to be a Protestant. I don't want to be a Roman Catholic. I want to be a Christian. Does that make sense to you? Can you understand what I just said? I don't want any label. I just want to do what the Bible says do. The Roman Catholic began to label people, put people in bondages. Along comes Martin Luther, and he begins to take them out of some bondages, but puts them in others, under what is called the Protestant movement. And the actual enunciation of that is the Protestant movement. They protested everything. They protested the Catholic Church with, what was the number, where did Lance go? How many was on there? 98 on the theses of 97? On Martin Luther's, less than 100. And so it was a protesting thing, which the head had, and if the head has that anointing, then guess what comes right on down? The protesting. And so the Protestant movement was birthed in protest, and from it comes all the denominations, the Baptists, the Methodists. The Roman Catholics don't have all that. They just have Roman Catholics. And you have all the protests, and everybody protests. We protest what the Baptists do. The Baptists protest what the Methodists do, and they protest what we do. I don't want that. I just want to be a Christian. I just want to love the Lord. I don't want to be a charismatic. I don't want to be a church at Lafayette. I just want to be a Christian. I just want to love the Lord. I want to seek the Lord. I want to see His power. I want to see the truth. I want to understand truth. The Lord had me in this temple thing for over a year, just studying and observing the temple. I'm building a scale model of it now. I built a scale model of the tabernacle. I built a scale model of the tabernacle of David. I've learned so much and seen so much. The more I study, the more I see. The places was filled with smells. The places was filled with colors and things that just meant and wove into the people so many things. Which brings me back to my table. And as you entered the tabernacle, the table, the shewbread table, is called shewbread table. I tell you what, let's look at a few scriptures. Look with me in Exodus 25. I'm not going to be very long. I don't know exactly what to do, but I know I'm not going to be long. I do know that. As you entered into the tabernacle of Moses, you would come in towards the west. The tabernacle faced the east, and you would enter in, and the shewbread table would be on your right side. And it would be a cubit and a half high. It's one cubit wide and two cubits long. A cubit is about 18 inches, so this is about a scaled model of it. It's lower than your table, but the table always brings with it the attitude of eating or sitting and partaking of food. And so when I began to see that it was short, that it was small, I began to see that it was not a table that you would eat at standing, but it was one that you would eat at kneeling. And you would there minister to the Lord and He to you. In Exodus 25, verse 23, it gives us the table. And thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. Two cubits shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about. Now, I looked this word crowned up. It doesn't mean crown like we think is of a crown. It means a garland. It's a woven garland. Much like I have. A weaving. It wasn't solid. Thou shalt make it unto it a border of a handbreadth round about. And thou shalt make a golden crown to border thereof round about. And thou shalt make for it four rings of gold, and put the rings in the four corners that are in the 4 feet thereof, or the legs. Over against the border shall the rings be for places of the staves to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, and the table may be borne with them. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and spoons thereof, and covers thereof, and bowls thereof, to cover withal. Pure gold shalt thou make them, and thou shalt set upon the table shewbread before me always. When I read a scripture that has always, or this is a covenant forever, or there is an eternal aspect to the verse, it means something to me. And I'm trying to really, when I read one like this, I'm trying to now put it into my heart. What is this meaning to me? This table is set before the Lord always. The word shewbread means presence or face. It's the face table. It's the presence table. And the NASB Bible does say presence table, doesn't it, Judy? Isn't that what it says? It's the table of presence. It's the presence of the Lord. And I may turn to it in shortly, but in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man sup with me," if any man will open the door and allow me to come, "I will sup with him, and he with me." And so the table of the Lord is an eternal principle. And it was not just with shewbread. It was not just bread on the table. And I'll talk about the bread shortly in just a second. But it would have had 12 large pieces of bread, much, much larger than this. There would have been at least a quart of wheaten flour in each cake, and probably 2 quarts. It's according on what 2/10 of a deal is. But I know it's a lot, because I think a hen is, I'm not going to get into all that. I think a hen's a bushel, and you break that down. Anyway, it's about 2 quarts, if I understand correctly. And there was 12 of these cakes. There were 6 on this side and 6 on this side. And they would represent, of course, the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles and all those things, the 12 foundations. But also on the table, would be the drink offering, would be the bowls, would be the glasses. It talks about spoons being there. It was a place. It was a table. It wasn't just for the bread to sit on. It was a table where the priest would come and enjoy the presence of the Lord. And the bread was there always. It's always there. And that's a lot of bread. And Jesus said, do this as often as you will. It's always there. Whenever that we will, let's do it. Let's have communion. It's always present. It's always available to us. And that's the table. It was made of gold. Gold is, in scriptures, you've heard gold means deity. Well, I guess it can, but that's not what it means to me. As I looked the word up, gold, and really done some research on it, found out that gold really meant precious. Peter says that your faith is more precious than gold. So, gold is a precious principle. It's a precious thing of God, this table. And he began it. He began this working this into these people 1,490 years at least before Jesus Christ was born. Before he was ever born, the Lord God began to work it into his people, this table, this presence, this face table, coming and being with him and supping with him. Look with me now in Leviticus 24, in verse 5, and this will be about the bread. As you know, the bread was unleavened. It was made with flour. And we'll read about the bread quickly, and then I want to talk just a few moments about the drink offering. Leviticus, and thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deals shall be in one cake. And thou shalt set them in two rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Let me just comment there. As I was studying this memorial aspect of it, just shortly before the Lord went to the cross, the lady came in, I believe it was Mary, and she broke her bottle and she anointed the Lord, and he said that this would be an eternal memorial for her. And he is the bread of life. It's a memorial. This is something that we need to look at in a very, very special way. We will do tonight what the saints of Jesus Christ have done for 2,000 years. I want to go to the great cathedrals in Europe one day. I want to kneel at those altars and receive communion where the saints of God have received it for thousands of years. It's a memorial. This is a very precious time. It's something that God's people have been doing since the days of Moses. Every Sabbath, he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place. The priest should eat it in the sanctuary, in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, by a perpetual statute. There again, this bread is perpetual. It's an eternal truth. It's a precious eternal truth like gold. So the bread was set on the table, And there'd be two stacks, six per stack. And then once a week it was replaced. And the priest would eat it in the sanctuary, which is about what we're going to do. And then look at Numbers 28:7. And then I'm going to have you turn back to Exodus, and then we're done. Numbers 28:7. And the drink offering thereof shall be the fourth part of a hin. Now, a hin's about a gallon. So what you're talking about is a quart of wine. A fourth part of a hin for the one lamb. In the holy place shalt thou cause the strong wine. Please see this. Strong wine. What is NASB, sir? Strong drink. To be poured unto the Lord for a drink offering. Now this is inside the sanctuary. This is inside the place of the Lord. This is in the holy place. The priest would once in the morning and once at night, and that's what you will find if you will look in Exodus 29, 39, and 40. You don't have to turn there, but this is what it will tell you, what I'm about to say, is that once in the morning a lamb would be sacrificed and burned on the brazen altar in the outer court. And then a quart of wine would be taken into the sanctuary area, or into the holy place area, and he would come to this table, and he would pour that quart of oil, a quart of wine, either on that bread or on around that bread. Which is why I believe that the Lord told him and instructed him not to make the garland solid, the crown solid. It had to be something, I believe, that the wine could run off and then run onto the ground, which is just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and how his blood came out and ran onto the ground. It's his table. It's his presence. A quart. A strong drink, twice a day, once in the morning and once at night. And I don't know, you know, I don't know what the Lord's really trying to do here or wanting to say here, but I do know that the Lord is ministering to me in this study that he has me in. But the drink offering would have been strong fermented wine. It was the fruit of the vine. And this is what the Lord chose. This is what he chose to typify his blood. It would bring joy. It would bring relaxation. It's what he chose. This wine was used 1,490 years before his birth. It's used all the way through the scriptures. And it's used at his communion table. And it speaks of the communion of the priest with their Lord. How many of you are kings and priests? How many of you are a kingdom of a priest? Are you? You are, aren't you? You're priest unto God. Now the table is where he invites us to come. And when we made these altars, we made them not in any way aware, but I guess you see the resemblance in the height. We made them with a table. And what we'll do here in a few minutes is we'll set these out. These altars will be around and they'll all be facing the cross. We'll raise the screen. We'll move the podium so that as you come and you kneel, you'll be able to focus on him. It's his table. Tonight what we'll do that will be somewhat different is I'm going to ask you not to take a little piece of bread, but take enough. And the glasses are these larger white glasses, and they're half full, not of wine, but of grape juice. And there's enough to have a little meal with him. The cracker is wonderful in the mornings. The little cup is wonderful in the mornings for what we're wanting to do and accomplish through that. But tonight is different. Tonight it's just him and us seeking him at his table. There's a difference of what we do on Sunday mornings and the table of the Lord. And I want to just read one more passage, and if you'll look there with me, and it'll kind of sum up in 1 Corinthians 11. This is where Paul talks about the table of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11:23. I want you to come with your family, if your family's here. And if your family's not here, then you know, that's fine. I just want families at this time to be together. I want to have communion with my family tonight. I want you to have communion with your family. And I want you to come, and the ones that will be serving you, if when theirs come up, I want them to go and have communion with their family. And I want us to take time. And I want us to tarry. And I want us to wait on one another. And I want us to seek God for one another. And during the time, as we'll dim the house lights, as we create an atmosphere that is congenial to the service, and the Lord speaks to you about an individual, to give them a word. It may be just an encouraging word. It may be a direction. It may be just you to go pray with them. I want you to do that. I want you to give them a time to have with the Lord. And then as you see them finishing up their time with the Lord, then come and kneel with them and pray with them. And that should happen a lot if we're diligent and we're seeking the Lord. And if not, if they go back to their seat and you haven't had a chance to come, then go sit beside them in their seat and minister to them. This is not a hurry-up time. This night, this communion service that we're having now is not where we're coming through rapidly so that we can get on to the praise and the worship and the announcements and the preaching. This is communion. This is the table of the Lord. It's a time where we're just going to wait on Him and minister one to another. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. It's his table. It's his face. It's his presence. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, in order that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. So tonight, as we have this, let's take our time. Let's wait for one another. I know you're not hungry, except for him. I guess this has been encouraging to me, because I really sense in our body a hunger, a beginning of a hunger for the Lord. Something that I haven't really sensed in a long time. It seems like we've been kind of on a defensive mode or something. for a while. But I don't sense that anymore. I sense for the first time there's a hunger here for the Lord. We're going to enjoy Him. What we're going to do now, I'm going to ask some of you guys to come and set this up, remove this, move these beautiful arrangement that came from Sheila's, and fix this screen and all this so that we can focus on